their church. In Jesus' name.
Praise God. Are you cold? You are cold. I'm really sorry about that. I did ask them to what they can do about making sure the heating is on. We need more fire, right? More fire. A few more weeks. Yeah, not too long to go before we're in our own building. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I was listening to the I think it's the news the other day, and they were trying to outlaw clapping. Did anybody see that? No? Oh, it's just me. I'm the only person that watches TV here. Yeah. So they're trying to outlaw clapping, and immediately what went, you know, to my mind was, what are we going to do in church? You know, we've got to clap. And I'm thinking, you know, this is a strategy of the enemy to keep us from praising God. Because the Bible says that when we clap unto God, we are praising Him. Hallelujah. I just wonder if you can just stand to your feet just before I begin to preach. And I want us to just lift up our voices, clap our hands unto God, and praise Him. Shout on to Him and bless Him. Shout on to Him and bless Him and give Him praise and honor Him. As we said last week, we will not be silent. We will not be silent. The enemy shall not keep us silent. We will clap unto God. We will praise Him. We will lift Him up. We will honor Him. We will magnify His name. Somebody who has a voice, shout unto God. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. With a voice of triumph. With a voice of triumph. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All the lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise Your name, Lord. We bless You and we adore You. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Lord, we're so excited, God, to hear what You have to say to us today. We thank You for Your word to us, because You're still speaking. You're still speaking Your word, and we bless You and we give You praise and we magnify You and we glorify You. Somebody clap unto God. Come on. Give Him a mighty clap. It is not in the word, but what I believe God was saying to me, that where His will exists in your life, God will make a way. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if there's anybody that believes that this morning, but I believe God will make a way for you. He will make a way for you. He will take you through. Hallelujah. And so my mind went back to Isaiah 43 and verses 19 to 20, where God says, I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. In the wilderness and in the wasteland, nothing exists. Nothing exists. But God says, even in these barren situations, he says, I will make a way for you. Now that got me excited. That got me so excited. I stood upon my feet and I began to praise God. He says, he will make a way where there is no way. Somebody ought to rejoice when you hear that. God says, he will make a way for you. When you look at the situation, it looks impossible, but God says, even through that, I will make a way because I am God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he says, the wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen. Hallelujah. You see, God is saying that if he can provide for the birds, if he can provide for them, then he can provide for you and I as children of God. And so we read in Matthew chapter 6, 26, he says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Father, just pray that you will just speak to us. Speak to us through your word, Lord. May somebody, God, receive your word today and may it bring transformation. May it bring deliverance. May somebody be healed through your word, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let us turn to Isaiah 43, and we're going to read from verses 14 to 21. And this is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, the Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen. The law, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Hallelujah. I just want you to follow me for a little while. So from the passage that we have just read, we see that God introduces himself as the God who makes a way. And if he wills it, this is the word for somebody, if God wills it in your life, he will make a way for it. Hallelujah. Somebody better get ready for this, because I believe God is speaking. There's breakthroughs that's going to come today, because God is going to open your eyes for you to see that he's making paths for you. God is doing it today. Something, I believe in my spirit, miraculous will happen today. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so despite the difficulty of a situation, and despite the options that may look limited in the natural, God is a God who makes a way even when there is no way. Somebody knows that my God is the way maker. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, God is the way maker. God is the way maker. Ian and Hope, God is the way maker. So good to see you. God bless you. Just a brief background then of this passage. Isaiah 43, 15 to 16, God says, I am the Lord, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters. In many prophetic passages in Isaiah that we read, Isaiah lived 700 years before Jesus. This prophet foresaw great difficulties for the children of Israel. He saw that there was a time when they would be taken into captivity by their enemies. They would be taken from their homeland and exiled in foreign countries. Historically, we know and we see the fulfillment of such passages in the Babylonian exile recorded in Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 14. With their homelands and place of worship destroyed, the temple destroyed, these people who faced persecution. And as the years in exile became many decades, the great question that was on the hearts of the children of Israel was this: is this situation hopeless? Is there a way out of this impossible, difficult times? Is there a way out? Is there a way back home? I don't know if anyone has ever been there, and I'm sure many of us have. Is there a way out? Is there a way through? Can we get back to where we were? Like the Israelites, many of us find ourselves in situations like that, where we're asking questions like this. And this is what God does. I want to tell somebody here, you might have been crying out to God for many years in prayer on your knees and you're not seeing anything. The Bible says that God heard the cry of the Israelites. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 9. And it says, and now the cry, he was talking to Moses. He says, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen how severely the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, go, Moses. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. In the scriptures that we've just read, God had to reintroduce himself, because I guess the people forgot who he was and what he can do. You know, the fact of the matter is, many of us, even though we're coming to church Sunday after Sunday, lots of us don't have a true experience of God. And here, the children of Israel, who were void of God in that situation, God had to reintroduce himself to them. We can be so much in exile that we forget about our God. We can focus so much on our issues that we forget our God. We can be so much in bondage that we don't remember how to worship anymore. You remember God said to the children of Israel, to Moses, he says, tell Pharaoh, let my people go so that they might worship me. We can forget. And so God had to reintroduce himself to his people. Hi, guys. It's there. He had to remind them once again of his character. And he starts in verse 15 by saying, I am the Lord. Remember, I'm the Lord, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel. Remember, I am your King. And he begins by reminding them that he is Yahweh, the great I am, the self-existent, active, ever-present God. Ha! God wants somebody to know this today. Know it in your experience that he is the great I am, ha! The mighty God, mighty in works. Mighty indeed. There is nothing that my God cannot do. He can do all things because, just because, he is God. Hallelujah. Just because he's God, he can do it all. He can do it all. Praise God. Maybe the difficulties that you face has clouded out the thought and the presence of who he is. Maybe you have forgotten that the one who is on your side is the eternal, all-powerful. Somebody just get that in your heart. The eternal, all-powerful, the ever present God who makes a way. He makes a way. And Israel had forgotten that. I don't want us to lose sight or even forget who God is. And this is why we come Sunday after Sunday, and even during the week, some of us are knowing the power and experiencing the presence of God. This is what God wants for his church in these end times, for us to know who he is, the great I am, mighty God. He reminded them that he's the creator of Israel, God's people. They didn't come into being by accident. No, there were no accidents here. God created them and he called them. Just like he did the prophets, he called them and he had purpose for them. And it was through the plan and the purpose of eternal God that he did this. And so the Lord was saying to them in so many words, he says, I created you. You are mine. Do you really think I'm going to forget you? Do you really think that I'm going to just let you go? In the same way, God has created us and he calls us as his children. And finally, God reminded them that he's the King. King with a capital K. Israel was in exile, suffering under the king of Babylon. But they were not to fear the earthly king, the real king. Was still overlooking and was still in control. Hallelujah. He who makes a way through the sea. In verse 16, God reminded the people that he makes a way through the sea. What was God doing here? What's the sea got to do with their predicament? What he was doing was reminding them of their past, particularly of a time when they previously seemed like there was no way forward. It was a time of exodus from Egypt when the Israel faced certain death. When the Israelites began their journey out of exile, God specifically led them in a path where they would avoid trouble and confrontation. I will make a way, God says, where there is no way. And so we read in Exodus 13, 17 to 18, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was the shorter journey. You see, sometimes God will take you down. I know this is not comfortable to hear, but God sometimes will take you down a very, very long road. Sometimes He moves instantly, and other times He takes His time because He's God. Sometimes He will allow stuff to happen in your life only to prove that He is God. Sometimes He will bring you in only to take you out again to prove that He is in control of every situation. Ah, because He's God. He will allow you even to die and bring you back to life again, so that others will know that He is God and see His glory. This is how He works. The mighty God, the great I Am, there is nothing that He cannot do. He can do all things. He will make a way where there is no way. We spoke about the 5 billion stars, more than. This is my God, of the universe, who can make a way where there is no way, who can speak a word where nothing exists and bring things into existence. You see who I serve, mighty God, great I Am. Hallelujah. This is why I get excited, because I know who He is. Hallelujah. And this is what God says to the Israelites. He says, if they face war, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. But what a strategic God. So God, the Bible says, led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. And the Israelites, this is the word, went up out of Egypt armed for battle. As Israel's journey continued, their God ordained a path for them. It was difficult, it was a difficult path, but God fashioned it for them. But this was all part of the plan of God. He said to Moses in Exodus 14, 1 to 3, He said, tell the Israelites to turn back and camp near Pi Hahiroth between Magdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. What a strategic God. And then He says, Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, heading by the desert. No, they weren't. God had led them, and now they face the Red Sea. And we're thinking to ourselves, why did God do this? This is crazy. God led them around some other way, and now it looks as if they're facing massive difficulties. and about to die.
Hallelujah.
Your journey will lead you to some overwhelming situation where it seems like, I'm going to tell somebody, where it seems like there is no hope. Where it seems like everything is coming to an end. But then our God intervenes. He makes a way where there seems, I love that word, seem as if there is no way. Moses, the Bible says, answered the people. He says, do not be afraid. Here is the word again for somebody. The Lord says, do not be afraid. But he says, stand firm. Standing firm can be quite difficult to do. But if you want to see the glory of God, you need to stand still and open your eyes and see what God will do. God says to them, tell the people, stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Hallelujah. Strategic God. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Here is a word for somebody. God says you need only to be still. And then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord, can you see that? All night God was fighting for them. The Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of fire, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Hallelujah. So this is what God wanted the people of Israel in the days of Isaiah to remember. That's what God wanted them to remember. And this is what God wants you to remember in these days. He wants you to remember he is still the God who makes a way. Yes, he is. Through the sea. He's the same God. The same God then. He has not changed. And he makes a way through the sea. Let's break it down a little bit further. The path of God leads to the waters. It is clear that you might be following the Lord and the path that he has designed for your life. And it can lead straight to mighty waters. This is especially so if God desires to use us to help others. God will sometimes lead you into situations which are uncomfortable, into deep waters. God will lead you. You need to be prepared for that, because God will lead you that way. It says in 2 Corinthians 1 verses 3 to 4, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. All of us will face the waters at some point in our lives. I want to say that again, because I don't want you to be under any misconceptions here. All of us will face waters at some point in our lives. The verse earlier in Isaiah chapter 43 verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, when you pass through the waters, he says, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Note that it does not say if you pass through. It's not a matter of if, but when. It also doesn't say when others pass through the waters, but it says when you pass through. It will happen to you. I'm sorry, but I don't want to dampen your Sunday morning. He said you're going to pass through waters. And some of us will go through the fire. This is what the scripture says. Some of us will go through the fire. But I want to tell you this morning, you will not be harmed. You will not drown when you go through the waters. Why? Because God is with you. He will make a way for you. Yeah, that's the difference. So two things we want to go away from here with. One, he will be with you when you go through the waters, when you go through fire. And secondly, you will come out of it. Amen. You're not going to stay there. God's going to take you through it. You will not stay there. You will not drown. It will not overtake you, because God is with you and he's provided a way out for you, just like he did for the Israelites. I'm speaking to somebody here today, and you're facing a situation that God has miraculously brought you through, and it looks like it is impossible for you to get on to the other side. But God says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to blow through my nostrils, and I'm going to part the waters for you so that you can walk across on dry ground. Hallelujah. He's making a way for you where it seems as if there is no way. When you look at this word through, it's positive and it can be negative. You make a way through. It can be positive and it can be negative through. The negative aspects of this word through is that we have to go through. We have to go through. That's the negative aspect of it. What did I say before? All of us, we're going to go through at some point, go through something, go through trials, go through difficulties at some point in our lives. I'm not sure about you, but I would prefer if God, the scriptures had used some other word than through. What about around? He makes a way around the difficulties. We'd love that, wouldn't we? That sounds much... Would you agree with me that sounds better? He makes a way around the difficulties. Is that what we want? As believers, is that what we... Let me ask you a serious question. Is that what you want as believers? That's what you want, isn't it? Or how about over? He makes a way over the sea rather than through the sea. That's what we would love to be taken. Taken, just like Philip was taken and transported above the difficulties that we face. We would love all of that. That's a negative part of that word through. Now, the positive aspect of this word through is that we will get through. You will get through. I know it doesn't look like it, but you will get through to the other side. God is going to take you through. The period of difficulty is not forever. And there is no need to set up camp in the middle of what you're facing and say to yourself, is this it? No. Israel had to walk through the waters, but they kept on walking. They knew that there was victory on the other side. I've come to tell somebody today that God is saying to you that the position that you find yourself in, God is saying that he's making a way, and God is saying, continue to walk. Continue to walk. And he says, as you're walking, fix your
the healer of the sick, the creator of the universe, creator of mankind. This is the God that I serve. He is the great I am.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. The great I am. And then God said, don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the past. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. God says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Straight after saying that he will make a way, God instructs his people to forget the former things and not to dwell on the past. Why would God say that? Especially as he's just reminded them of past events. Why would God say, forget it? You see, normally God wants us to remember the past so that we can bring to mind the previous deliverances and learn from our former mistakes. Is there anybody that made mistakes here? I was only speaking to somebody this week and I was saying, if I could only have been able to have seen into the future some of the decisions that I'd made, I would not have made them. I believe that there is a tendency to think of God as the God who was and the God who will be, but not as the God who is. And this is, we remember great things that God once did and we rejoice in them. Isn't that the case? We read in the scriptures, you know, where God heals the sick and we rejoice over that. We read great stories, just like the one we just read, the opening of the Red Sea, and we rejoice in our God because of that. And then we look forward to what God has promised. He will do when he returns. He's going to do great things. And we're looking forward to his return. But what about now? What about now in your life? What about the great I am in your life? The God of the present tense. That is what God wants his people to know. He's the God of the now. The miracle worker. The healer. The deliverer. The great I am. The God that we have not forgotten, but we are reminded of his greatness every day. Something new and amazing was about to happen for the children of Israel. They didn't have to look back to the stories anymore, but God showed up when they cried out to him. I've come to tell somebody that God hears your cry. He hears your cry. And it looks as if it's not happening. And you're going down a road which is uncomfortable. And it looks like nothing is happening. And it seems as if it's almost a confusion. And you're walking back and forth, turning left and to the right. And it looks as if you're in confusion, but I've come to tell somebody that God is leading you down an unfamiliar road only for him to show you his glory. I believe and I hear the Spirit of God saying that somebody's Red Sea is about to open. Hey! Yeah, I hear the Spirit of God saying that as you fix your eyes upon Jesus, he says that where you are right now, God says, do not worry, do not fret, but keep your eyes fixed upon me. Because God says there is waters that he's about to part for you if only you can trust him. Don't look to happened upon him. Because he said there's a Red Sea that is about to part. And God says that if you continue to walk through it, he will take you through to the other side. Is there anybody that is coming with me? Ha ha! I don't want to go alone, but I want to invite you to come with me, because I'm walking on water. I'm walking on water. Sometimes I won't even walk through it, but I'll walk on top of it, and I'm going across. I'm getting there, and God is walking with me. He says, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because you're my child. You're my children. Look what I have done for you. I believe God is speaking to somebody right about now. Can I look at yours? And as your heads are bowed, it's a clear word from God. He's going to make a way for you where it seems as if there is no way. I heard the Spirit of God speaking to me, and God says, this is what I have for the children of Eden today. He says, I'm making a way where it seems as if there is no way. What you're looking at right now looks impossible. Looks impossible. What you look at, I'm saying it again, because you're about to see the glory of God. What you're looking at right now looks impossible. But God says he's going to make a way for you. Hallelujah. Please stand to your feet for me. There's a song that I'd love us to sing before I pray with you. As I was writing this sermon, this song just came to me, and I heard the Spirit of God saying that as we sing it, it's going to bring release. You made a way. When our backs were against the wall, behind us, the Red Sea was in front of us, but he made a way. We're standing here only because you made a way, Lord. You moved mountains, you caused walls to fall. With your power, you performed miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. We're standing here only because you made a way. I want you to sing it with everything that you have as a testimony of what God is about to do. If there is somebody by faith who believe God for a breakthrough in your situation, whatever it is, it looks impossible. From everything that you understand and from what you've been going through, it looks impossible. And it is impossible. But I hear the Spirit of God say that as you step by faith, God says you shall see the miraculous. The Egyptians, the Lord says that you saw, you're not going to see them anymore. Your Red Sea, he says, by faith, he's about to open. Open. Yeah. If you believe God, I'm just going to ask you to just walk through. Just walk through right the front. And as you're walking through, what you're doing by faith, you're walking to the other side. By faith, you're walking to the other side.
Raise your hands for me. I'm just moving around as the Spirit of God.